I'd like to convene the May 7th, 2013 session of the House Committee on Ag and Natural Resources. We're in session. Good morning to you all. We have a couple of hearings this morning. The first one we're going to do is Senate Bill 200A. And Beth, could you tell us a little bit about that bill, please?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 200A would establish a process for a holder of a water right for agricultural use to certificate, that's a word, their portion of an original water right permit as it becomes eligible. The new permit would carry forward all the conditions from the original permit. There is no revenue impact, a minimal fiscal impact.
Very good. Thank you. And with that, I'd like to call up this morning, please, Angela Spade, Stephen Shropshire, and Brenda Bateman. Good morning to each of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And a great morning it is.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Brenda Bateman with the Water Resources Department. Thank you for the opportunity to bring before you this morning Senate Bill 200A, which is a department bill focused on the concept of splitting a water right permit. Development of a water right moves through several stages, and this concept focuses specifically on the ability to move from a water right permit to a water right certificate. That's the final stage in proving up on a water right, and is an important stage because if you have a water right certificate in hand, that provides greater flexibility for how and when and where you can use water. So it's an important stage to be able to reach. This concept was first brought to the department by irrigators who were facing a problem. That is, they were holding a water right certificate, but that was appurtenant to or attached to land that they were working and farming that had originally been part of a larger parcel of land. And as you know, as land becomes subdivided and subsequently sold off to different owners and becomes a little bit more of a patchwork quilt, oftentimes one water right remains appurtenant to that entire piecework parcel of land. And so what we have here is a situation where some irrigators have done their due diligence, they've proved up on their water, developed their land, put water to beneficial use, and they are ready to move from that next to last stage, a water right permit, to the last stage, a water right certificate. But they're finding that some of those with whom they share a water right do not share the same sense of urgency to develop that water. And so they're being held back from their ability to fully develop their water right because adjoining property owners, landowners, are not able to move forward in that process with them. This bill requests permission to be able to split a water right permit, holding all other terms and conditions the same, to split the water right in the same proportion that the land itself has been split, and allow those who are able to move forward with the development of water to do so. This bill would be for agricultural users only, as municipal users have a different vehicle, a different tool available to them at this time. The bill, as it's before you today, lays out very clearly the roles and responsibilities of both the applicant and the department. Pardon me. The applicant must produce certain types of documentation, including an accurate map, a deed, and verification that the water has been used according to the rules and regulations that were originally set out. And the department, for its role, needs to verify this information, communicate with all of the involved landowners, provide public notice, and also provide opportunity for public comment and protest before processing those materials. This bill passed through the Senate with 28 votes of support, and this morning we have with us Steve Shropshire and Angela Spada, who, thank you, are more able to eloquently describe than I can the need for this program, and have brought with them this morning a real-life example of the need. Thank you.
Good. And thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Angela Spada, a co-owner of A&R Spada Farms located in St. Paul, Oregon. We're a family-owned nursery and farm. We have approximately 2,100 acres in cultivation, mostly nursery and some rotation crops. We ship our product to 42 states and 6 Canadian provinces. We employ about 150 people, and we bring in the out-of-state trade dollars to help Oregon's economy. We are the real-life example for this bill. We've been through the process with water resources many times and always been able to, you know, finalize our water right into a certificate. But we came to a situation where we bought property that was had three other owners. It was split into three, four pieces. And we go through the process and couldn't finish it, the certificate. And, you know, what are we going to do? So that's why we're here, trying to, if the longer we delay and years and years and years go by, I keep paying attorney's fees and, you know, to get things done, and I'd just rather have it done once and finished.
So. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Steve Shropshire. I'm a water rights lawyer in Oregon with clients throughout the state. And this is a bill that we've brought forward in conjunction working with the department to remedy the issue that Brenda Bateman has mentioned. Angelo Spada is a real-life example of how this can play out and how it does pose a problem. I will reference you to our detailed written testimony, and in lieu of taking up your time right now, offer just a couple of words. As Ms. Bateman mentioned, this bill moved smoothly through the other chamber, moved through 28-1. The lone dissenting vote being the result of a dispute over an Oregon Ducks tie. Otherwise, I think we were in good shape over there. So I would hope that you two would find it non-controversial, helpful, and we believe that it's a useful and important tool for water management in the state of Oregon. It is an amended version of the bill. There are a couple of terms that were tweaked in the first round in order to address a couple of concerns brought forward by an environmental organization. So the bill, that was done with consent, and we now have something that we believe is supported by all and opposed by none. But I've been proved wrong in the past.
Well, very good. Questions or comments? Vice Chair McEwen.
Well, Chair Witt, it might be important to know how many more of those ties are out there floating around at this point.
That I don't know. Fortunately, I was not involved in that, as I'm a Colorado Buffalo.
As is my husband. Thank you.
Go Buffs. Anyone else? Representative Reardon.
I fully expect to support this. So I'm just curious, do you expect to use that any more water might be used under this scenario, or...
Mr. Chair, Representative, excellent question, and actually that was part of the focus of the amendments that were brought forward. We wanted to make sure that there was no injury to other water users as part of this program, or also enlargement of the water right, that we would hold all terms and conditions the same, including no more water than was under the original water right, and no changes in terms of moving around points of diversion or other things that might be construed as taking some liberties as part of this program. We wanted to keep everything exactly the same and just keep the water right so some parties could move forward.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How do you actually gauge that consumption? I mean, so much of that percentage goes back into the groundwater and it goes back into the system that you're originally taking it out of. How do you accurately gauge that?
Mr. Chair, Representative, this requires the close partnership with our water masters in the field. So before anyone moves forward with an application, before anything is approved or the program actually begins, the water master is very involved in taking baseline measurements and working with the applicant to make sure they understand the water that's being used today, what the request is for, and then putting in place regular measurement and reporting under this program so that they're able to come back and evaluate how that's being used and making sure folks are staying within the program limits.
Okay, but, you know, I'm just a simple guy from Medford. Explain to me how you monitor that amount of water, a certain percentage. I mean, there's got to be some trick here that I'm missing other than water master going out and doing what you just said.
From the user's perspective, what I have to do and have been doing for years is I have to do annual reporting on my monthly use of water, of my water rights, and put that into the state's system by computer. So I have to measure it monthly and report it annually.
Follow up.
please.
So it's as accurate as you so deem it?
I have meters that I read and...
Oh, you have a meter.
I have
okay.
meters that we read
okay.
and...
Because I was wondering how you did that with irrigation when you flood irrigate and stuff like that, how you...
We all sprinkle irrigate, you know, and it goes through piping, and we have meters in the pipes that...
Because I know in Eastern Oregon they have open ditches, and then they use a suction tube that goes down into the field, and then it... And it.
I don't know anything about that, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't figure out how you could monitor that. So, thank you.
Anyone else? Not seeing anything. Thank you, panelists, very, very much. Appreciate your testimony this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else from the public who would like to testify this morning on Senate Bill 200A? Not seeing anyone, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 200A.
And
With that, I'm going to...
Senator Olson here.
Thank you. I'm going to... go hold on for just a second. We're going to stay at ease just for a second. On the record, and I would like to open a public hearing, or reopen, I guess, the public hearing on Senate Bill 199A, and with that, ask that Senator Olson please join us. Welcome back to our committee.
Yes.
Almost like I'm wrong.
Now let's not get carried away, Senator.
Thank you, Chair Witt, Vice Chair Esquivel, Vice Chair McKellen.
Morning.
Members of the committee, my name is Senator Alan Olson. I represent Senate District 20, which goes from Charbonneau to Estacada and from Gladstone down to Molino. It's a beautiful district. It's the heart of Clackamas County. Senate Bill 199 comes before you today out of my committee, Environment and Natural Resources, where we worked diligently on it. It came forward in February of last year as an in-stream leasing bill, and it didn't pass the muster, so it came back this year, and we put together a very good work group on it to negotiate the bill. When it first came and I looked at it, I think I saw some problems that I had with it, and so Senator Dingfelder, the chair of Environment and Natural Resources, put together this committee work group that came in. We sat down in an office and we hammered out all the problems. Now, one thing that that did come out of this bill that I'm happy with is the fact that it's going to work as it's supposed to work. The one thing that came out of this bill that other people aren't happy with is the sunset. The sunset ended up at 10 years on a negotiation, and it was 10 years that I said that I agreed to with all the groups. And I felt that it was reasonable, as you all know, in putting together bills and negotiating issues. I was going to say complex. These aren't really too complex, but to negotiating issues, there's a give and take. And if it's all on one side, there's not much of giving, there's all taking. And so we worked together on this and came out at 10 years. And I know some folks would like to have it shorter, and some people would like to have it removed. But when you do the research on this bill, which I have done, as you can see, my file's pretty fat. When you do the research on the bill, you'd see that the sunset is still important. There's only been 17 leases used over the last 12 years, so it's not a program that is massive with a lot of use to it, but it still needs to have some scrutiny from the legislature, which is what we should do. And 10 years seemed to be very reasonable. The original concept was that when you look at the language in the bill, the water rights work on a 5-year basis, so 2 5-years connected together would make 10 years. the groups on one side of the issue that wanted to remove the sunset wanted certainty of the bill. I felt that 10 years was an adequate time to give them certainty to make sure that the bill could be used, make sure that the people that wanted to use the bill knew that within 10 years this program would still be viable for them so that they could have a good look at it. So that's how we ended up at the 10 years. I think it's a very good program, a good bill for the folks out there that need water, good bill for the folks that want to keep water in stream so that to protect the fishery and the habitat. I think this is an important piece of legislation that should, I would hope that you would move it forward and move it to the floor and pass it. It passed the House, or passed the Senate side unanimously. I think that was on the good carry. I'm not certain who carried the bill, but I think that's probably why it was moved out so nicely. But it's a good bill. It does what it's intended to do, and I think that I would appreciate if you folks could take a good look at it and move it forward as it is.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. You, you've spent a lot of time on this bill, and I recognize that there has been a lot of input on this bill, and you're also correct that there are folks, now that it's here in the House, that are taking a look at amending it in two different directions, and I think in order to avoid this bill being taken off in two separate directions, that we need to use the guidance that that you've given us and that your work committees have given us in terms of trying to move forward. So I'm very appreciative of your efforts, and very appreciative of any time I've had questions or concerns, you've been exceedingly open. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Additional questions or comments for Senator Olson? I'm not seeing any. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, we have some testimony by phone from Charles Hanna. And so if we'll please go ahead. See if we can raise him. Mr. Hanna, good morning. This is Brad Witt from the Oregon House Ag and Natural Resources Committee, led to understand that you have some testimony that you'd like to share with the committee and the public regarding your experience with Senate Bill 199 or your experience practicality on 15 Mile Creek. Is that correct?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just asked to talk about my experience with the in-stream leasing on 15 Mile Creek.
Thank you very much.
The first year I participated was last year, 2012, and I'll tell you a little history about myself. I've grown up in Duper on 15 Mile Creek, raised on a hay farm. I know most all of the folks that irrigate out of that creek, and I farm my own ground there too. So I did take part in a partial in-stream lease last year, the split season. It actually worked out really well for me. It worked out so well that I signed up again for it this year. The way my crop rotation has been going, the crop I have in there, this leasing out the second half of the season, has worked really well for me. I'm not sure that it's something I would do every year, but I think it is a very good tool if it's available. I'm not sure what kind of an answer, I'm not sure what you guys are looking for. Do you have any questions for me specifically?
Okay, we will we'll find out here in just a moment. Anyone from the committee have any specific questions or comments for Mr. Hanna? We're not seeing any this morning here. I think we're just interested in your general experience and whether in-stream leasing is something that appeared to be working for you.
Well, it does seem to be working for me. And then the other thing, I don't belong to the 15-mile watershed council, but I do attend most of the meetings, and I'm wanting to say 2009, it might have been 2008, there was a fish kill event in 15 Mile Creek. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that. It's kind of a big deal around here. So we're trying to do whatever we can to keep that from happening again. And by having the ability to do this in-stream leasing, it kind of fixes a lot of problems. For me, like this particular year that I signed up is a low water year. So I have old rights on the creek, and I could water in August. But then you start looking at this, we're trying to do a critical low flow plan where the growers would actually voluntarily shut off their water if the water got low enough. And well, August is basically the month of concern. So, for me, by doing the split season lease, my water will be turned off, so I don't have to worry about any fish issues, and I still get compensated for it, so it's not costing me a terrible amount of money to basically do the right thing. That being said, I do like the program, and I'd like it to stick around.
Okay, very good. And I'm assuming then, Mr. Hanna, that pretty much concludes your testimony to us today.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let me just see if there are any questions or comments. Representative Reardon.
On the second half or the second part of the season, are they always leaving the water in the stream?
Did you hear that, Mr. Hanna?
Yeah. The question was that are you always leaving the water in the stream on the second half of the season?
Yes.
Only if I sign up for. This year, 2013, I have a contract with the Freshwater Trust. So July 15th, I'll turn my water off, and that water stays in stream throughout the rest of the season. So it always stays in, but just my portion that I have the right to. Does that answer the question?
Follow up?
Please.
Under this program, could someone lease the water for the second season and consume that water?
Okay, sorry, I guess I'm not following here.
Can water be taken out of the stream for the second half of the season?
I mean, can you sublet that to someone else?
That's actually using the water.
Yeah.
For,
my understanding is that that's not allowed under the bill.
Yeah. No, it's to my understanding, the water has to stay in stream. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
I don't think anyone else gets to use it. And then the water is measured by the water master, and it's supposed to stay in stream. Typically, the way it works at home here, if I'm not using the water, if I wasn't signed up with the leak and I wasn't using the water, my pumps were turned off, then somebody else with a more junior right would be allowed to pump that water out of the stream. whereas if I sign it up in-stream, my water has to stay in-stream.
Okay.
Does that answer the question?
Thank you.
Yes, I think that's a very good explanation. Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Hanna, thank you very, very much. Certainly appreciate your making yourself available, and certainly do appreciate your testimony as well.
Okay.
You have a good day, sir.
Okay, you too.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, and with that, I'd like to call up, please, April Snell and Mark Landauer.
Can't figure out why everybody wouldn't sign up for that program.
Good morning to both of you.
No, please.
Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. For the record, April Snell, Oregon Water Resources Congress. Oregon Water Resources Congress is a nonprofit association that represents irrigation districts and other agricultural water suppliers. Our members collectively irrigate about one-third of the total irrigated land in Oregon. And you have a letter that's being distributed there that OWRC signed on to, in addition to the Freshwater Trust, Oregon Environmental Council, the Nature Conservancy, Oregon Association of Nurseries, League of Oregon Cities, and Special Districts Association of Oregon, whom you're going to hear from in a moment. And this broad coalition of water interests is in support of Senate Bill 199 as amended. And we are in support of the split season lease program as a valuable tool in the toolbox that water users need in order to be able to manage scarce water resources sustainably and profitably in a way that works both for the economics and the environment. Our water users use this program, but our districts have also benefited from this program. And while it has not been widely utilized, extending the sunset by 10 years will allow more time for this program to grow and for the department to be able to market that further and see how it can do in that 10-year time frame. Originally, this bill came to you with no sunset. So the difference between no sunset and 10 years, that's a pretty big amount. You've heard from some other folks that would like a shorter sunset. And you heard from Senator Olson that they worked very hard on the Senate side to come up with that 10-year number. And I think that's important to recognize the bipartisan work that went into that effort and that particular number. Additionally, in addition to the fine work that Senator Olson did on the Senate side, this bill has been thoroughly discussed during the interim in a work group that was held after the February session, in which our organization, along with Water for Life and many other organizations, participated and negotiated on this bill before it came to you. So this is not a new issue, and there's been ample opportunity to negotiate and discuss the nuances in this bill. And I think the bill you have before you is one that will both allow the program to grow and develop while also ensuring that there is no injury and that water rights will be protected and ensure that the senior water rights holders who these water rights belong to have the flexibility to use the water rights as they see fit, which this program will allow them to do. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, Chair Witt, members of the committee. My name is Mark Landauer. I'm here on behalf of the Special Districts Association of Oregon. Special Districts represents approximately 950 single-service special districts across the state of Oregon, many of whom are involved in water issues, including the Oregon Water Resources Congress. This has been a rather robust discussion on this bill. I know you've heard it previously. You've heard some very compelling testimony from somebody who's actually used this program. I won't belabor the point. We are supportive of this measure. Again, it just provides some flexibility in a statute that is very rigid that will ultimately put water to its most beneficial use at certain times of the year. When the agricultural season is most productive, that water can be used at that time. When the yields decline over the summer months and the water is needed for in-stream purposes, it can be voluntarily leased. It's that simple. We believe that 10-year sunset is a very reasonable period of time. It's sort of threading the needle between the two interested parties on eliminating a sunset and having a shorter sunset. We think that's a very reasonable compromise, and so we're here in support of the bill and happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions or comments?
Thank you.
My goodness. Thank you both very, very much. Appreciate your testimony. Do we have anyone else who'd like to testify this morning on Senate Bill 199A? Not seeing anyone. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 199A, and I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 199A. And before we proceed, committee members, as I alluded to earlier, there are dueling amendments here that the committee has before us, and I'm going to first recognize Representative Esquivel for one of those amendments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to make a motion to adopt the Dash 13 amendments, which moves this from 2024 to 2020, because I do know that there are people on this committee that want to support a six-year instead of a 10-year.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair Esquivel moves the Dash 13 amendments to Senate Bill 199A. Is there a discussion on his motion? And again, this is... I'm seeing questions.
Can you just maybe explain? The amendment just moves the sunset from 10 years to 6 years.
To 6 years, that's correct.
Oh, to six. And yeah, I'm opposed to this motion. Okay. I encourage folks to vote now.
Anyone else? Representative Clem.
I probably can't vote for these, but I'm excited about my Dash 15s.
Waiting for that opportunity.
Like I said, we have dueling amendments. Representative Thompson.
I support this amendment simply because, as a policy, I think sunsets longer than 6 years are questionable. That's three legislative cycles. You know, institutional memory being what it is, in 10 years, nobody's going to even remember why this was put on in the first place. So I think if it's worthy of a sunset, then it should be no more than 6 years.
Okay. Thank you. Vice Chair McEwen.
I would just comment that I believe that the work on the Senate side was robust and the conversations have occurred, and I appreciated Senator Olson's testimony today and will be voting against this amendment.
Thank you. Anything further? Not seeing any. I would like to have Maria, please call the roll.
Representative Plum.
No.
Representative Krieger.
Excused.
Representative Reardon.
No.
Representative Thompson.
Yes.
Representative Unger.
Nope.
Representative
Whitson. Excused.
Vice Chair
Esquivel.
Aye. Vice Chair McEwen.
No.
Chair Witt.
No. The motion fails. I'd like to now recognize, please, Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Witt, I move Senate Bill 199A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you.
Now he's going to vote against the bill.
Thank you, Vice Chair McEwen. Move Senate Bill 199A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on her motion.
We could make it better, but I suppose I can go for this.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Clem. In the spirit of political compromise, with that, seeing no further discussion, Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Excused.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
No.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Whitson.
Excused.
Vice Chair Oslo.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeon.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes. And I am, who would like to carry this bill?
Do you want me to?
Would you like to? Representative Thompson.
He'll recommend a no vote.
Thank you for.
He'll do a good job.
He'll do a great job.
I'd be happy to carry it.
Okay, thank you. Vice Chair McKeon has volunteered to carry the bill. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 199A. Thank you, committee members, very much. Appreciate that. And with that, I think I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 200A. And the folks would just hang tight for the paper shuffle here.
Folks,
is this one that, how's the committee feel about a possible consent calendar agenda for Senate Bill 200A based on the testimony that we just heard? Does this appear appropriate for the consent calendar? Okay, let's go with that motion. Vice Chair McKeon.
Chair Witt, I move Senate Bill 200A to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McKeon moves Senate Bill 200A to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar. Is there discussion on her motion? I'm not seeing any. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Whitson.
Excused?
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Excused?
Representative Plum.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeon.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. The motion receiving the majority passed. Thank you very much. And that brings us up to a long list of work sessions here. Let's see. Senate Bill, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 25A. That's the charter boat bill. And Beth, could you remind us what that bill is about?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the bill would modify the State Marine Board authority over charter boats carrying seven or more passengers. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
Okay, very good. Folks, remember this bill?
Yep.
Okay. All right, I'm going to recognize Vice Chair McKeon.
Chair Witt, I move Senate Bill 25A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McKeon moves Senate Bill 25A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on her motion? I'm not seeing any. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Whitson.
Excused?
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Excused.
Representative Plum.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeon.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. The motion passes. And I would, anyone like to carry this bill? I'll assign myself. We'll get you in the next one.
Okay. A bad one.
You set me up. All right. Thank you. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 25A and open a work session on Senate Bill 26. Beth.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 26 would authorize the State Marine Board to make grants from funds received through the Federal Boating Infrastructure Grant Program. There's no revenue impact and no fiscal impact.
All right. Vice Chair McKeon.
Chair Witt, I move Senate Bill 26 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair McKeon moves Senate Bill 26 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion on her motion? I'm not seeing any. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Whitson.
Excused?
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Excused.
Representative Flynn.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeeling.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes. And I'd like to have Vice Chair Esquivel, would you like to carry this one?
No sweat.
All right. Very good. Thank you. I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 26. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 31. And I recognize Vice Chair McKeown.
Chair Whitt, I move Senate Bill 31 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar.
Thank you very much. Vice Chair McKeown moves Senate Bill 31 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar. And just so that we all remember what this bill is about. Beth, could you give us a brief summary?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 31 would allow representatives of forest landowners, or when applicable, representatives of grazing landowners, to be appointed on forest land classification committees. No revenue impact and a minimal fiscal.
All right. Thank you very much. Is there a discussion on this motion? Is this one that we think Representative Krieger might have an interest in. I don't want to assign him something that...
Why not? He's not here.
Okay, we'll do it
go
then.
Go for it.
All right, seeing no further discussion, Maria, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Whitson.
Excused.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Excused.
Representative
Flynn.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeeling.
Aye.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Chair Whitt.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes, and we're going to ask Representative Krieger to carry that one.
Consent.
Ooh, excuse me. We were on the consent calendar, weren't we? I'm going to hold on that one. We've passed the motion, and I'm going to close the public hearing. That's a consent calendar item.
Okay, so we're back on the consent
public calendar. Or the work session. Okay. With that, I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 198A. And Beth?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 198A would authorize a court to order the Fish and Wildlife Commission to revoke a commercial fishing license or permit issued for a period not exceeding 2 years if the person is convicted of specified violations. There is no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impact.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Recognize Vice Chair McKeown.
Chair Whitt, I move Senate Bill 198A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Vice Chair McKeown moves Senate Bill 198A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on this motion? I'm not seeing any. Folks remember the bill, I take it. With that, I'm going to ask Maria to call the roll.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Flynn.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Excused.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Whitsitt.
Excused.
Vice Chair Esquivel.
Aye.
Vice Chair McKeeling.
Aye.
Chair Whitt.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion passes. And
carry that if you want.
Would you like to carry that one, Vice Chair Esquivel? Great. Thank you very much. And with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 198A. And I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 571. Beth.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 571 would add the state Marine Board director or a designated representative and one appointed member to the Invasive Species Council. No revenue impact, minimal fiscal impact.
Okay, very good.
Vice Chair McEwen.
Chair Witt, I move Senate Bill 571 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar.
Thank you. Vice Chair McEwen moves Senate Bill 571 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be placed on the consent calendar. Any discussion or questions on this motion? I'm not seeing any. Maria, would you please call the roll?
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Thompson.
Aye.
Representative Clem.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Excused.
Representative Unger.
Aye.
Representative Whitson.
Excused.
Vice Chair Espel.
Aye.
Vice Chair
McGinn. Aye.
Chair Witt.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the motion is passed, and it's on the consent calendar, and so I am going to close the work session on Senate Bill 571. And anything for the good of the order?
Chairman, are we meeting next Thursday? Or?
9
a.m.?
Like it. Okay. Job.
So
I know.
Last time when we had a short one, the testimony went really long. And this time when we had a big agenda, we thought, well, we'll give it a little more time. And, oh, well, so much for planning. Just for those who may be interested, Vice Chair Esquivel, we've got a, is it a, not a trap shoot, but a sporting place?
Actually, the Oregon Sportsman's Council, Sportsman's Caucus, which we have 39 or 40 members, will have a, in conjunction with Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, Roy Elker, we're going to have a week from Thursday up at Mitchell's, we're going to have trap shooting, skeet shooting, and sporting clays. Bar SBP with my office, and we'll go from there, get a head count, but we'll start at 3 o'clock. Some people can't make it at 3 o'clock, but we'll be there until at least 6 or later.
So this used to be an event that was kind of an annual regular thing in the legislature years ago, and an opportunity to just get away and have a bang-up time, so to speak. So that was bad. Okay. So anything further for the good of the order?
So bring your own shotguns and shells.
We stand adjourned. Thank you, committee members and members of the public as well. Appreciate it very much.